Isn't this a sports show?
Micah says this is a template on how to lose your show before Alex loses his job.
Almost entirely.
I'm pretty sure there's always going to be somebody we're better than and somebody we're worse than.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
Durf-a-durf-a-durf.
On 1510 AM, 99.3 FM, and 1510.com.
I have three greatest detriments. Number one, I have a bad memory. Number two, I'm easily distracted. And number three, I'm not good at radio.
Keep up with the show on Twitter at JB Briscoe.
Also, he's not that likable. I was going to say that next, actually. I was going to say, also, I'm not very likable.
You have a squeaky voice for radio.
Right, I do. I have a bad radio voice.
A girly laugh.
I definitely have a very girly laugh.
On ESPN Kansas City.
All right, the Chiefs are back, kind of. We'll talk about that in like 30 seconds. But first, I just want to put this out there. I did some research last night. This is in the Constitution. If a fan decides to throw things at a football player from the stands, the American Constitution says that player is legally allowed to fight them at the 50-yard line. The original writers of the Constitution were very ahead of their time. Beards, you were a history major for like 2 years?
Ish, yeah.
Can you confirm that that is in the Constitution?
I wasn't an American history aficionado, but can confirm that that is very well known.
It's very well known. It's like you can have...
That's like the third thing you learn in U.S. history yes. since 1977.
Yes, exactly.
No, 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 1777. There we go.
I thought it was added very late. Right, no, yeah. Post-revolution, this is one of the most iconic pieces of legislature in American history. It's like, all right, it's also in the Bill of Rights. It's everywhere. It's actually in the Declaration of Independence, but the ink is so faded that it's very hard to see this part. Every major American document, it does say in there somewhere that if a fan throws things at you from the stands, then you legally are allowed to climb into the stands, to grab that fan, drag them out to the 50-yard line, and then fight to the death at that space.
That's actually something that Patrick Henry wrote. You know, the Give Me Liberty or Give Me Death guy?
Ooh, that's okay.
That was him.
Nice pull by you on Patrick Henry.
I had to make sure I had the name right.
Yeah, I literally, you could have said anything. You could have said, like...
Oh, believe me, I know. I have an illusion to keep up, though.
That's true. Yeah, somebody would have probably called you on it. Who wrote Common Sense? It's on the tip of my tongue. Beards is still befuddled. What do you mean? Did you never watch Liberty's Kids?
Thomas Paine! I actually thought about that last week, Liberty's Kids. For whatever reason.
Liberty's Kids was an amazing show. Amazing. Loved Liberty's Kids. I've got thoughts on literally every character in that show, but we're going to save that one for an hour or two. If you missed it, at the end of the Seahawks-Jags game, one of the Jaguars, and by the way, it would have been less terrifying if it was an actual Jaguar, tried to climb into the stands to retrieve a fan who threw, like, a beer and then also, like, popcorn at him or something.
There were a few water bottles and Gatorade bottles.
Things with mass.
It reminded me of Malice in the Palace.
Everything's about the bleeping NBA with you. You know what it reminded me of? History major? It reminded me of the Roman Colosseum. That's how I imagine it went. Except for, again, he was scarier than a literal jaguar. Would have torn that guy's arms off. And I wish they would have just let him go. Who would have blamed him? Who watches that clip and goes, "Aw, come on, man, you gotta be better than that." No one. Yeah, terrified, coward fans. Who are throwing things from 10 yards out and missing. Later on, we'll probably talk about the fact that the NFL is like the mob and we just need to admit it. But the Chiefs won! The Chiefs won yesterday. And all is right in the world. Kinda. There's some ways in which what happened yesterday is really encouraging, and some ways in which I just can't help but pump the brakes. Pessimism first. The Chiefs won 5 games, and then lost 2, and then beat the Broncos, and it was like, all right, well, here's the stopping of the slide. And then they lost to the Cowboys, and I was like, well, that's okay. and then it was Giants, Bills, Jets. I'm not 100% thrilled. Oh, by the way, I messed it up. It was a Seahawk who tried to go into the stands, not a Jaguar who tried to go into the stands. I do need to amend that.
That's even scarier.
Yeah, he definitely scarier than an actual Seahawk. Than a bird. I just see that his last name is Jefferson. I know nothing else about him other than I would not want to throw things at him and to have him fight me.
He's bigger than I am, and that's all that matters.
He's an NFL, I think, defensive lineman. You know how many NFL defensive linemen I'd want to fight? The number is zero. I might fight Vince Wilfork just because I feel like we'd be friends afterwards. That is it.
Quentin Jefferson.
Thank you. I know nothing about him other than, again...
He's 6'4", 290.
Yeah, that's not the dimensions of someone I'm going to throw things at from a distance. Also...
I'm older than he is, though.
No way.
I have that over him.
No way!
Yep.
You guys are not the same species.
That's all, though. That's the only thing we have.
Wow.
I'm older. That's it.
That's insane. How old is he?
24.
Oh, man. Also, like, I know that the next thought, we're going to talk about the Chiefs in 2 seconds, damn it. I did not mean to start here for this long. But you could have, you could probably say, like, oh, well, listen, I'm sure whoever threw that was very drunk. They don't have enough Bud Light in that stadium to get you drunk enough to want to throw things at 290-pound hulking men. You cannot drink that much Bud Light. That is not powerful enough. You would have to be on bath salts to get to that point. Anyway, the point I was making was that the Chiefs beat the Broncos and they ended that 2-game slide. The sad, sad loss at home to the Steelers and then the loss on the road to Oakland. They beat a bad Broncos team, and it didn't actually fix anything. A little bit of me fears that from yesterday. But the Chiefs beat a team that wasn't very good after losing three straight games to teams who weren't very good. So that's something. It certainly counts for something. I do not mean to say that was not a must-have win. Because at this point, you're obviously not with the Chiefs saying, well, you know, just tank for draft spots. Because first of all, I don't have a first-round pick. And second of all, that is a sad place to be. But I'm also not expecting any fans, realistically at this point, to say, oh, yeah, now that's a Super Bowl team right there. No. No, probably not. But you just want to take whatever you can get now. That's where I'm at. At this point... This season right now is what I thought this season was going to be 12 weeks ago. Or I guess now like 14 weeks ago. Before the first game. Before the Patriots game. This is what I thought the season was going to be. I figured it'd probably be 8-5 at this point in the season. Win against the Chargers and Dolphins. Lose the Broncos. Win the AFC West, and then go eventually lose the Patriots or Steelers. We are right back there. The Chiefs took... Remember Family Circus? The comic strip? What was the little kid's name? It was like Jeffy? I think it was Jeffy. I think Jeffy is the one who would run around on some crazy path. And he would go through, you know, like a pile of mud before he got back to the house, and his mom would get mad at him or whatever. The Chiefs have really Jeffy'd this season. They went and, oh, look at these surprising victories. And, oh, look at these sad losses. Oh, they lost to the Steelers. That makes sense. And where are we now? Whoop! They're going to be head-to-head with the Chargers to win the AFC West. Probably win the AFC West. And then eventually lose to the Patriots or Steelers. Maybe you lose in an upset at home to the Ravens or Titans. Or someone like that. Where you expected them to end. They're going to get there like Jeffy. Is it Jeffy? Is it Jeffy from Family? I got to make sure that I got this right. If Beard was a good producer, he would have figured this out for me by now. Yep, got it. Just so if you just search Jeffy Family Circus, you will find one of those Sunday comics of Jeffy just running all over the place, running roughshod. Not taking the most efficient path, but ultimately getting wherever he planned on going. So the Chiefs have Jeffied. But it's that is way better than them just like drowning in the mud puddle, which is what almost happened. If the Chiefs would have lost yesterday, they would have just drowned in the mud puddle. And so again, I didn't mean to come through today and just, you know, bleep on the parade. Not my goal.
But
everything I just said is true. Now, are there ways that yesterday's win can mean more than just getting out of the mud puddle en route to eventually get where we expected them to get? Yeah, there are some things. And why did the team look so different yesterday than they did these last 4 weeks? It's because Marcus Peters wasn't playing. Just kidding. Just a joke. No, it's a joke. It's not true. That's not why they looked so different yesterday. We got that cancer out of the locker room. The reason that they looked so different yesterday is because they had a pass rush and they forced turnovers again. That was the difference. We talked last week about how this defense might just not be as talented as we thought they were, and how the biggest difference between this defense this year and last year was the turnovers they were forcing. And the Chiefs had 7 sacks in the previous 7 weeks. Obviously not good enough. So yesterday, Derek Carr gets terrorized for the majority of the game. Gets sacked 3 times. Throws a couple interceptions. Oakland ends up fumbling one time. So the Chiefs force 3 turnovers. That's going to do it. That's going to make you look like you've suddenly fixed your defense. I think this defense still has plenty of problems. When was that fumble? Was that a... It was, I don't know, like a punt return or something? I'm looking at the box score, and I don't remember Johnny Holton's fumble. Yeah, nothing for me, Beards.
Nope.
This had to have been, like, late in the game, right? Zombo recovered it. I don't remember that happening. I also was doing a lot of things during the game yesterday because I was working and actually keeping the Kansas game on the radio. So I may have glossed over Johnny Holton's moment in the sun.
So it's your fault we heard that.
Right, yes. That is true. I did force you to witness that game if you're listening to 810. Can you please find me when Johnny Holton turned the ball over? I need to know now. I just cannot remember when this happened. Anyway, the Chiefs forced turnovers and they had a pass rush. If the Chiefs are going to go anywhere this year, if they're going to get beyond one playoff win or 0 playoff wins, they're going to have this pass rush. Chris Jones showed up and was all over the field. Justin Houston was used as a pass rusher. Tano Passanio had a couple of moments. The entire defensive line looked much better. Jarvis Jenkins played really well. Raheem Nunez-Roches played really well. It was a good game from the Chiefs front 7. Probably their best of the year. Certainly the best in their last 7 games, unquestionably. I'll at least give you that. And part of that can probably be attributed to Bob Sutton doing a little more by way of aggression. A little more differently in that defensive front. And that's something that as the Chiefs' army of fan analysts goes through the tape, we'll find out more and more about over the rest of this week. But that was the biggest key from yesterday. Also, Derek Carr was terrible. Offensively, it wasn't an amazing game for the Chiefs. They left a lot of points on the board. Travis Kelce dropped the touchdown. One got taken back by a penalty. Demetrius Harris dropped the touchdown. there were a lot of field goals whenever touchdowns needed to be had. That's something you have to clean up if you want to win in an upset. Yesterday, though, the Chiefs didn't have to do that because they were winning by enough on the other side of the ball, which is, again, that's what was so dominating about last year. Have you found anything for me, Beards?
I did. So it looks like it was in the third quarter. It was the only play of the drive for Oakland.
Was it a pass to him, or was it
Carr passed the ball to Johnny Holton for 8 yards, tackled by Nelson, fumble recovered by Zombo.
I've also found it now. I have.
It was about 6 minutes left to go in the third quarter.
I mean, I must have just, like, been playing a commercial break or something. I have absolutely, I don't like to admit ignorance, but especially when it comes to Chiefs things, because usually I know what I'm talking about.
I don't think I was watching at that point.
I have no memory of that happening. Oh, yes, I do, because right afterwards, Alex Smith threw an interception. That's why that went so fast, because I was thinking, like, wait a second. The Chiefs had the ball in really good field position. What happened? Why didn't that turn into something else? Oh, that's right. Because Alex Smith gave it right back. That was what happened. Okay. My apologies. It was so inconsequential that I literally forgot that it happened.
It was all Alex Smith's fault.
It was Alex Smith's fault. Somebody was just screaming at their phone or their iPod shuffle or whatever they're listening to this on. Just screaming. All right, I'm sorry. I forgot that happened.
I forgot about the iPod shuffle.
There's some stuff coming out now about the Jaguars and Seahawks game. I guess you could see why we call it the Jayhawks game. It's not what I meant. Also, the Jayhawks game was more of a massacre than this was. Quentin Jefferson was apparently... Oh, hold on. That's a video. Okay. You know what? Bleep this. I've made a terrible mistake.
I did see that nobody's getting suspended.
All right. That was the second thing I was going to say after I commented on this video that I can't watch because I'm live right now on the radio. And sometimes I make very, very bad decisions by way of that. The Jaguars say that the video showed four individuals throwing items at Seahawks players. Those people will be identified, contacted, and banned from attending future games. That's fine. I think they should have just had to have fought Quentin Jefferson at the 50.
So, is it just like a four-on-one thing? Is it just bare hands?
Yeah, I don't think you can have any weapons. I think that's too dirty, as opposed to the pure, angelic NFL.
Does he get to wear pads?
No, it just as is.
Do they get to wear pads?
You know what? Maybe Quentin Jefferson has to pop off his shoulder pads. But no, you know what? No. I take that back immediately.
Helmet's a weapon.
Scratch that from the record. It's in the state that both of them were in whenever the fight was started. Because if you're going to throw a bottle or whatever at a football player in
pads... You're
meaning
to go to it right then?
Yes, then it's right then. He climbs up into the stands, grabs you, drags you out to the 50, and you fight... As you were. Because listen, like if you're gonna throw something at a guy in shoulder pads, you're not assuming that he's gonna take off those shoulder pads before kicking your bleep and just scrubbing your skull right into the AstroTurf. Just leaving bone fragments among those little pieces of tire in the fake turf.
Do players or fans get a second?
What do you mean?
So when the first person is no longer able to perform, there's the second guy that pops in and finishes it off.
I think it's just the people involved.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, if multiple fans do go after the same player, then the player can keep calling them out to the 50 until he's done.
Okay.
So he can take up to four. But if he decides, you know, he crushes one person into oblivion. And then he said, you know what, I'm good now. Then he can just go into the locker room. But it's on, it, that is the choice. That is the choice of the assaulted.
You leave the rest of them like soiled in their own underwear.
Oh, that's a great point.
Just for fear.
That's a great point.
To make a statement?
Yes. He climbs back up again to go grab the next one as if this is like the Hulk being released into the Hunger Games.
Oh, gosh.
He scales up and comes over the railing and he just stands in front of all three of them, just sort of like breathes heavily and then walks out back to the locker room, and the three of them just all crumple in that moment like the cowards that they are. Who is this bad for, other than those fans?
Definitely not the image of the league, that's for sure.
Well, I mean, listen, man. I'm not saying that players should be allowed to just pick, like, random, like fans who are booing out of the stands. I'm saying if you throw a projectile weapon at a player as they're walking by, then let there be some old Western justice.
It could be bad for the innocent bystander that I'm going to relate this back to the NBA, of course. Mouse of the Palace, Ron Artest may or may not have gone after the wrong guy that threw a bottle at him. That would be kind of bad if Quentin Jefferson grabbed a different person that was just sitting there and then just kind of squished them into a little trash cube and then
in Monsters Inc.
And then the other guy just got off scot-free and was like, whoop, I dodged a bullet there. And then the other guy is literally just dead.
It's like in Monsters Inc. whenever Sully thought Boo had been crushed in one
by
of the little
trash
cubes.
Yes.
Yes. But he just does it with his bare hands.
That would be bad for that person.
Well, I think if you say, no, that wasn't me,
but
you
I feel
just
like
have to, like,
anybody
post it on
would
Twitter.
Say that at that point.
Well, that goes ahead and completes your circle of cowardice, and you at least get to be publicly acknowledged as a quivering coward, which I think also does some good.
I feel like if there was just a single person sitting in that section and they were the ones that obviously threw it because there was nobody else around, when the player came up to them and went, "That was you, wasn't it?" They'd be just going, "Nope, that wasn't me. What are you talking about? I wasn't paying attention."
I disagree.
Where am I?
I disagree because there were some dudes, like, as Jefferson went over, I can't believe we spent the whole first segment here, but I'm glad we did because this is the most, like, we'll talk plenty of Chiefs today. We're going to talk a lot of Chiefs today. This story doesn't happen very often. The Chiefs beat the Raiders, like, every week. As he went over to the stands, there were some dudes, like, popping up in that front row, just going, like, "Bleep you, mother bleeper, bloop, bloop, bloop."
Well, yeah, because they had the illusion of the stands and security around them.
But whenever that illusion gets taken away at that moment,
that's when they go, that wasn't me.
But then it's too late. You've already identified them. You go, "Oh, it's him, the Jags fan. The only one in the whole stadium. Isn't that a home game? The only one." I think we should let that happen. The NFL trying to play the, like, "Oh, this is not who we are" angle. After that, after Vontaze Burfict got knocked out by Juju Smith-Schuster, after Rob Gronkowski threw an elbow at a man laying on the ground, that's like McDonald's going, our nuggets are made of all white meat.
After the entire history of the NFL.
Yes, this is what I'm saying. It's McDonald's releasing a new salad. Like, "Yes, well, listen, ba-da-ba-ba-da, love this. Here's McDonald's hamburger salad. It has the word salad in it, so you know that McDonald's is basically Weight Watchers."
All natural french fries.
Right. We fry our fries in peanut oil. That's close to a vegetable. Yeah, we're going to put, it's like, doesn't McDonald's put, like, chopped onions on their burgers? I have not had a McDonald's hamburger in.
I don't think I've ever had a McDonald's
hamburger.
Okay,
good. Good for us.
Fries? Okay.
Sure.
Burger? Eh, get
out of
here.
I think they put chopped onions on their burger. It's like saying, here's your serving of vegetables on top of your burger. That's the NFL, like, scorning Juju Smith-Schuster for knocking out Vontaze Burfict and then walking over him. Silly. Just silliness. All right, well, you know, talk about the Chiefs game and then also more ways that we can turn the NFL into Mad Max. That's next.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
Pat Mahomes is like literally
only a few days, right?
He's literally a cucumber. Yeah. He is so dumb.
Yeah.
Patrick Mahomes is such a dope.
With Joshua Briscoe.
He's literally a squash, so he can never learn the system over the course of the last 6 months.
You know those
He's
Mark
not
that.
Ready.
Mark that.
He's not ready.
You know that's liner
on ESPN Kansas City.
I really like that liner. That's really funny. I don't remember calling Patrick Mahomes a cucumber, but it's funny that I did. Also, this is a quick detour. So the song that's playing right now is from the Neighborhoods EP called Hard that came out a few months ago. And then Jesse Rutherford, the lead singer of the Neighborhood, has a solo album out now also. That's just called Ampersand or And. It's an ampersand, so I'm guessing it's pronounced ampersand. It's very good. So if you're looking for new music, you should go listen to that. It's good. I'm going to listen to it, like, later today. I heard that, like, oh, I remember really liking that song. I should go back to that. Just a little, that's free. That's not, we're not even going to charge extra for that. As always, you can listen to the show wherever you get your podcasts. If you search Almost Entirely Sports, all the Chiefs stuff is podcasted at Roughing the Kicker. And then we're here on ESPN Kansas City, which is 1510 AM, 99.3 FM, 1510.com, and most three-dimensionally on the ESPN Kansas City Facebook page. Live stream the show every day. Where at this point, it's actually weird to think about not live streaming the show every day. Like, it's just kind of a part of it now. Even though, if you were watching last break, you saw me throw a pin very hard across the studio into the glass that separates Beards and I. Because Beards said something during the break that I can't repeat here. But a few things in the Facebook comments from the first segment. Blake did confirm that Family Circus character is named Jeffy. Thank you, Blake. Ryan says, what's up from Denver? Listen every day. Love the show. Hey, Ryan. Thanks for listening from Denver. I feel like we're like a shining light. In the Denver radio market. From here. Killing it. Beard started laughing at something completely... Yeah, what was that?
I think somebody died.
I just figured out one of my headphones. It sounded like someone just punched Elmo. Is that fair? Or like Yoshi. Someone made like a Yoshi sound. Right? Did you hear like... Did you process it the same way I did?
No. I heard it more of like a... Ah!
I heard more of like a... Bah, bah!
I don't know what that was.
Yoshi!
Anyway.
That was pretty good.
That wasn't bad.
That was a pretty good Yoshi sound.
I'll use that for something. I don't know what yet, but I'll do. That's marked.
But anyway. Nicholas says, just hop in for a minute at work. Shout me out so I can hear it better on the podcast later. All right, fine. Fine, Nicholas. No, you know what? I'm not gonna. This isn't Sway in the Morning.
We charge for those.
I'm not doing shout-outs for free, Nicholas Barnes.
$2.
Yeah. Venmo me. Also, Renee freaked out because Beards wasn't wearing his hat earlier. It is weird that you always wear a hat. Whatever. So, back to our secondary topic today, the Chiefs-Raiders game. It was weird because yesterday was the most complete game we've seen from the Chiefs in a while. And this goes back to one of the reasons I was optimistic for the first 5 weeks whenever I realistically probably should have gone ahead and just stuck with my cynicism. The Chiefs were winning without playing really complete games. It was just like, oh, they could have done this better, or this is very sustainable, or this wasn't great, and they won anyway. Yesterday had some of that, but they did enough on both sides of the ball. Neither side of the ball carried the game yesterday. The defense was certainly the better unit yesterday, but that's only because the Chiefs offensively settled for some field goals in places where drops and incompletions and penalties ended up kind of hamstringing them down in the red zone. Also, it wasn't a great game for Alex. We'll talk about Alex Smith more later. He was fine. It was a fine Alex Smith game. I described it on Twitter as a full frontal Alex Smith game. I'll explain what that means later. But I guess that phrase is either really gross or just super sexy, depending on what you're into.
I mean, we did have a show in the earlier part of the year where we established that he is underrated as a handsome quarterback.
100%. 100%.
I don't want to follow that train of thought any farther, though, after the phrase that I just used.
Nope, I'm good.
Thank you.
Talk about the Chiefs.
I am talking about the Chiefs, just in a way that makes a lot of people very uncomfortable, I'm sure.
How's the defense?
So good.
We don't need Peters.
I did not think you were going to say Peters. But so the pass rush is good. Here's the super like arrogant thing. It's going to sound arrogant, and I don't mean it this way, but I have tone problems. I'm not actually surprised by what happened yesterday. Like, well, you said that you thought the Chiefs were going to lose. I know. I did. If I would have had to have bet my life in the game yesterday, I would have been dead today. But I'm not really.
Damn.
But I'm not really surprised by how yesterday went down. Because this version of the team existed earlier this year. It randomly coming back to life for a game yesterday isn't stunning. And it also doesn't mean a ton to me at this point. It obviously means a lot by way of the Chiefs' playoff hopes. It's obviously a must-have victory. I'm not saying in any way whatsoever that it's not a big win. Because it's more than a big win. It was a required win. It was an absolute must win. But I'm also not willing to let yesterday completely revitalize my expectations for what this team is. So it was a must-have game. It's great for their playoff chances. Also, this season has been dumb enough that yesterday kind of made sense. The pass rush was all over the place. Chris Jones was everywhere. He forced an interception early in the game. It's crazy what happens when a defense gets pressure, right? This is the thing that we talked about last week. I told you I was more concerned with the pass rush than any other place on the defense, in any place on the offense other than Alex Smith for those Giants and Bills games. Pass rush changes everything. And this is the place where, again, if the pass rush from yesterday was legitimate, then the Chiefs can also be legitimate. But that's been the most glaring missing piece over the last 7 weeks. And I'm going to need to see them do it again for the remainder of the regular season at this point. Also, Derek Carr was terrible. He was atrocious yesterday. Partially, though, and thanks to a decent game from the secondary. The pass rush was big. The secondary also played very well. Here's the thing that has to make you excited, though. The Raiders threw at Darrelle Revis into his coverage 7 times yesterday and completed one of those passes for 8 yards. Revis had one pass breakup. He played 56 of 61 snaps. And Carr had something like a 38 quarterback rating when throwing at Darrelle Revis. I told you late last week that, you know, there wasn't anything to be encouraged by from Revis last week, but that it also wasn't time to fully panic because he just was knocking the rust off. He was very good yesterday. Now, let's talk about Marcus Peters for a second. I think, kind of like we did last week, we can summarize the Marcus Peters conversation in, like 2 points here. One, the defense is absolutely better with Marcus Peters. This is non-negotiable. This is not difficult. You can say, well, what is it? What is a better rotation for your defense? Peters, Revis, Mitchell, Nelson, Gaines. Importantly, though, I guess let me set it up just because the Chiefs are really rotating through 4 guys in all likelihood. So it's Peters, Revis, Mitchell, Nelson, or it's Revis, Mitchell, Nelson, Gaines. This is not a difficult piece of math to do. The defense is absolutely better with Marcus Peters. But it might have been good for Marcus Peters to see the defense yesterday succeed without him. It depends on what your goal was in his suspension, but if you were looking to kind of deflate his ego a little bit, maybe looking to bring him back to earth, maybe to remind him that he's not the be-all end-all of this defense, if you think that that's a problem, if you want to remind him that he's not above the law and that this defense does perform best with everybody on the same page, etc.,
then yesterday probably did that. Yesterday probably accomplished that goal, if that was in fact the goal, to just kind of knock him down a peg, if you think that that's the problem the Chiefs are trying to address with a suspension. So I think that's the full conversation. We'll find out if the suspension accomplished what you wanted it to accomplish. Them being good yesterday probably helped. That was a bit of a gamble. If the defense would have been atrocious yesterday, I don't think... If I was in Marcus Peters' shoes and the defense would have been terrible yesterday in my absence, I would have come back into practice today or tomorrow like a peacock. Just with all of my feathers out. Going, oh, look who's back. Oh, I'm back. Oh, maybe the defense won't be such a bleep show now that I'm back. Like, and I imagine everybody has a little bit of that, right? That's not just me and Marcus Peters, right? Like, if you are, like, fired from your company, you check in every once in a while and talk to your good friend. What are you cackling at, Beards? What's so funny?
There's a Taco Bell commercial that was funny.
Riveting. Okay. Yeah. Good storytelling. Thanks for explaining.
Yep.
But, like, if you get fired... What?
Who's getting fired?
Well, if you get fired, I'm saying you're gonna check in and just sort of see how like your replacement is doing, and you kind of want them to fail a little bit, even if you got friends in the company. You want the guy who took your place to, you know, kind of fall on his face a little bit, right? Like I think I would. Be just looking at me as if I'm saying something in some sort of coded language about like someone we know, and I'm really not. But be I don't. I don't know why you're so... I don't know what you're... I'll have to ask him in the break, probably. But so I think that Peter's looking at the defense yesterday, almost shutting out the Raiders, through three quarters. If the goal was to make Marcus Peters kind of go, oh, you know what, I might not be completely irreplaceable. Maybe that probably happened yesterday, and that's probably a good thing. The Chiefs did leave a lot of points on the board, though. The defense was the side of the ball to be excited about. In fact, also, Tano Passanio, he was in coverage for one terrible play. I took two things away from that, though. One, Tano Passanio being in coverage means that's where the ball's going to go. And two, it means Bob Sutton is trusting Passanio to do a little bit more, which I think is actually a good thing. So, I'm not terribly worried about Tano Passanio not being a perfect outside linebacker in coverage. The defense yesterday was very good. It's going to get more talented whenever Peters returns. The pass rush woke up, which I don't think you can overrate. And they shut out the Raiders for three quarters.
You mean playing Justin Houston in coverage isn't a good idea?
It's stunning how that works out, isn't it? I think I could be the offensive coordinator of the Packers with Aaron Rodgers, or I could be the defensive coordinator with the Chiefs and do either of those jobs perfectly fine. Because I would say, okay, so Justin, you rush the quarterback.
Every time.
Every time. Every bleeping time. And Aaron, you do whatever you want. You just take us to the promised land. I tweeted yesterday, because it looked like the Packers were going to lose to the Browns for a little while. And I tweeted something like, whenever the Packers lose to the Browns, the Packers should fire Mike McCarthy and immediately replace him with a raccoon, and then let the raccoon and Aaron Rodgers lead them to the Super Bowl. I think a raccoon could do it. At least as well as Mike McCarthy does. Also, can you imagine a little raccoon on the sideline in one of those headsets with a microphone and like a laminated play sheet?
I really hope he does the bell check and like wears his hoodie.
Oh, that's good! A little raccoon and a little cut-off sleeve hoodie holding the plaid with the headset?
That'd be pretty good.
How adorable is that mental image? I just wish I had a good pun. I wish I had a good raccoon Bill Belichick pun, but it's... That getting from point A to point B that quickly is a real challenge.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
Beard, did you ever work a customer service job?
No.
That makes sense.
With Joshua Briscoe.
You're kind of a douche.
On ESPN Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
I really like perusing the Facebook comment section because, again, it's the most real-time way of interacting with the show. I didn't see it at the time, but Tyrell just commented at one point, "How, Sway?" And it made me really happy because I don't totally know. I know our demographic is young, relatively.
Ish.
Yeah. Like, more so in your average terrestrial radio show. But I don't know who, like, knows Sway very well. Beard just pointed at himself and mouthed the words, "Not me." Yeah, exactly. You don't know anything about Sway? He's like radio royalty.
Nope.
Okay. All right, fine. But it made me happy that someone's acknowledging that. Raheem is talking about a couple of issues here. He says, Matt Nagy has been the difference. Sutton made some adjustments. Hunt has been Hunt when he gets enough carries. We need Peters for Keenan Allen. And Smith still has happy feet in a weird way, creates his own sacks. These are all things we're going to talk about. Either for the rest of this hour or next hour. I do want to talk about the offense some now. But also, Marcus Peters coming back for Keenan Allen is a great point. Amari Cooper ended up playing yesterday. It looked like he wasn't going to for a while, but then he did come back. And he did nothing at all yesterday. So there wasn't a terror there opposite Michael Crabtree. Having Marcus Peters back for Keenan Allen will be not a second too late. Sorry, I got distracted because I have the Facebook comments open now, so they come in live. It's distracting. Renee says that her dog keeps pawing at her phone. She's either loving the show or trying to make it stop. Listen, if you're listening to the show with your dog, please let us know how your dog is enjoying or hating the show.
Reacting to it like thunder and just running and hiding under a bed.
Exactly. Or like it's just or like
growling
bad singing.
Incessantly.
Ooh, growling incessantly is good. I think maybe like howling at it. But so, yeah, Matt Nagy offensively seems to be doing a lot of good. Now, listen, I think that the actual amount of work that he's doing that's changing the offense is minimal. I think what is happening is he's being given here's how I think it generally works. I hope this analogy lands. Andy Reid is like a brilliant writer, and he doesn't need anyone to teach him how to write. He doesn't need anyone to write for him. Sometimes Andy Reid just needs an editor. Andy Reid needs somebody to take a big red pen and just scratch out pass to Cameron Irving on 3rd and 1. Someone needs to go to Andy Reid and just say, listen, you don't need this phrase here. This is too many words. You know, this paragraph doesn't really say anything. It's kind of meandering. We just need an editor. And I think that Matt Nagy has been able to kind of be an editor for Andy Reid. What were you going to say, Breeds?
I was going to say there's two book series that you can relate that joke to. One of them being Game of Thrones.
I've never read Game of Thrones.
I know you
just
haven't.
Needs an editor is what you're saying?
Or just somebody to crack the whip and say, get the book out now!
I see. Yeah, on both levels, that seems fine. It's a little more of, hey, let's get this done, let's go this direction, and a little more like, hey, listen, don't outsmart yourself. Let's give the ball to Kareem Hunt here. I think that is more than anything what Matt Nagy is doing in this offense. So also, let's talk about the offense some from yesterday, what we saw there. The offense left a lot of points on the board, as I've said already today. Demetrius Harris dropped the touchdown. Travis Kelce dropped the touchdown. We haven't talked about Tyreek Hill. He was amazing yesterday. Amazing in too few targets and too short of targets. But he made some great plays yesterday where he truly made the plays. But there were some points left on the board where the Chiefs had touchdowns, ended up only turning into field goals. The deep catch that Tyreek Hill had with 3 minutes left in the first half was spectacular. He stopped and came back for the ball. It should have been a touchdown, but Alex Smith underthrew it. Drink, I guess, like throw one back. He stopped and came back for the ball. What should have been an interception, he turned into a big play. It was fantastic. And Matt Verderam had a stat out on Twitter, and I love whenever people jump on this bandwagon because part of me does sort of want to be acknowledged as the pioneer for Tyreek Hill needs more targets. But I like when other people jump on the bandwagon anyway, because I know in my heart of hearts that I've been doing this since November of last season, telling you that Tyreek Hill is waiting to be T.Y. Hilton and maybe more of maybe Antonio Brown, but faster and, you know, with not Ben Roethlisberger. But this is a stat that Matt Verderam tweeted out. He said that Tyreek Hill is 7th in receiving yards with 986 on 92 targets. Nobody else is in the top. Nobody else in the top 10 has been targeted less than 108 times, and that's Travis Kelce. The next lowest by way of targets is Julio Jones at 118. Tyreek Hill needs more targets. Now, I don't want him catching passes over the middle and eventually being stretchered off the field. I'm not interested in that. He needs to be used in space, and he was given space far too often by the Raiders yesterday. The Raiders should have been punished by Tyreek Hill much more often than they were yesterday. That is a place that I think this game could have actually gone in an even more of a blowout direction. The offensive line also, by the way, yesterday was pretty good. There were a couple of sacks. There were 4 sacks of Alex Smith. But as we just talked about a second ago, he kind of can create his own pressure. He took a couple of sacks that he should not have taken where he had time. That is a part of Alex Smith's game that was very frustrating yesterday. We'll talk about Alex Smith more at the top of the 5 o'clock hour. But via Pro Football Focus, Laurent Duvernay-Tardif allowed only 1 quarterback hurry on 43 pass-blocking snaps versus the Raiders. For the season, he's allowed only 1 sack, 2 hits, and 7 hurries. That's a pretty good showing from LDT. His 10 total pressures allowed are the fewest among qualifying guards in the NFL. Minimum 291 pass-blocking snaps. That's all pretty solid. We'll talk more about the offense all the way through at the top of the next hour here. We also talk about Alex Smith, the full frontal Alex Smith, and something that I have coined very poorly. But first, at the top of next hour, we will have Last Week On, all the highlights from last week's week of shows.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe on ESPN Kansas City.
Last week on Almost Entirely Sports.
If anybody tells you that cutting Marcus Peters and eventually cutting, or maybe now cutting, Justin Houston is the answer to fixing the Chiefs' offensive problems, I just want to remind you that the doors to ESPN Kansas City are always open and welcoming new listeners.
Figuratively, not literally. We don't want you to come here.
I'm so confused. The comment section's moving so fast. Why are people trying to buy a couch here? What's going on? This talk of couches and ottomans and waterbeds? The Jayhawks are now 7-1. They have plummeted to 4th in the Big 12 standings.
Fire Bill Self!
Fire Bill Self! The Jayhawks should start Patrick Mahomes.
Oh, man. Pro Football Focus just put out a tweet with the top 3 graded wide receivers this week. 3rd was Tyreek Hill of the Chiefs. 2nd was Robbie Anderson of the Jets. 1st was Jermaine Kearse of the Jets.
Man, the Jets must be good.
Hey, who's looking for a desk, huh? Come to the ESPN Kansas City Facebook page, buy a desk. Sell a phone!
We're the new Craigslist.
Finding Nemo at 3, that's hard to fight against. Finding Nemo is very good.
Yep.
Toy Story at 2.
What?
Oh.
No.
Oh, no.
Number 1 better not be what I think it is.
Oh, no.
It better not be what I think it is.
What do you think it is?
Wall-E.
It's Wall-E.
No.
That's insane.
Get out of here.
That's insane.
Out of here.
Today in the comment section, the people are buying and selling couches. Anyway, you know.
Charlie just bought a what now?
I just bought a recliner from your show. Thanks.
How did this start? Oh, Thomas just commented, I thought this was a couch show.
Stick to couches.
Really, you know what this show's been about the last, like, 2 weeks? This show and my Twitter. It's been about couches and carrots and concussions and the Chiefs are bad.
And cocaine.
And cocaine! Almost entirely couches, concussions, cocaine, and carrots. And the Chiefs.
Oh,
All right, welcome back to Almost Entirely Sports. I guess you can't see. My face hurts from smiling. I don't do it very often. These muscles don't get used. I'm usually just scowling. Oh, man, you know what? You know a moment that made me feel 1,000 years old? I guess it was during Thanksgiving break, where apparently, like, the neighborhood children didn't have school. I think it was the Friday after Thanksgiving. And it was, like, 8 a.m., so the sun was up, and I have an outside window by my room, and it's out, it points out right towards, like, the shared lawn space where these damn kids are always playing their games. Oh, they were so loud!
Like, how old are we talking here?
I don't know, like...
17?
Like, 10 to 12, kind of that. And there's probably, like, I don't know, like, half a dozen of them. And they're just, like, yelling about rules and who scored. And I had a momentary thought of, like, what if I just open my window and just yell, like, shut up!
Or just go get the hose and just start spraying them.
I didn't want to leave my bed, though. I wanted to stay where I was and just sort of, like, just shove the window open and just go, shut up, you damn kids! And then I, like, that was me, like 2 years ago. I would get up to crack of dawn and go play with all my 12-year-old friends. Because I'm 14. The joke is that I'm 14.
I got the joke. Don't worry.
I just wanted to make sure. That was a moment of like, oh, man, what have I become? I'm shaking my fist with judgment that these kids are playing outside. I just want to sleep in. Matt Derrick tweeted out a stat that's interesting here. As the Chiefs coach Andy Reid alluded to the defensive line changes against the Raiders, one big change was going with just two defensive linemen most of the game. The Chiefs' five active defensive linemen played just 127 snaps in 61 plays. Benny Logan played just 9 snaps. Bob Sutton definitely cooked some things up. What that sounds like to me is it's getting more pass rushers in the game and then letting, you know, your interior guys just running with two D linemen. So like you just put Chris Jones and Raheem Rochez out there, and then you let Tano Passanio, Justin Houston, go get the quarterback instead of making them play sections of your zone defense while you wait for Benny Logan to not get to the passer. But that was interesting. Another thing on the defensive side of the ball before we go back over to the offense fully. Lewis messaged me on Twitter last night. And he said, I've seen every game, some recorded, and so I fast forward after every snap and just watch the plays, barely hear the announcers, it seemed like an okay way to live your life. He said, but I haven't really noticed Eric Berry in any game other than today. Do you think Eric Berry's presence on the sidelines today made a big difference on the defense? And this is something that, it popped up right before the game, and people were saying, hey, Eric Berry's out there today, I wonder if that means anything, and I think he clearly, obviously, was like the emotional leader of this defense, and I think Lewis read on this that he wasn't really a part of the pregame or of the game at all since his injury, and he spent most of yesterday like right next to Bob Sutton, and I haven't had a chance to rewatch the sideline tape, but I saw some people making note of that throughout the game. I think there's something there. I think the defense likes having Eric Berry around. Ron Parker, I think it was, talked about a little bit after the game, and somebody said, hey, did Eric Berry being around mean anything to you guys? He said something like, oh, it's always good to have Eric Berry back in the defense room, defensive room, in the safety room, and good to have him around the facility and everything. I am guessing, and this is just a guess, but I would guess this pretty confidently, I'm guessing that Eric Berry is not going to disappear into the shadows again. I think if he is good to be out there, he is going to be around this team going forward. It cannot possibly hurt. So it was a good question by Lewis, something I want to talk about at some point today. So there's that. On the offensive side of the ball, I mentioned earlier, this was a pretty full spectrum of Alex Smith yesterday. It wasn't a terrible game. I'm not here to crush Alex Smith. It also wasn't a great game. It's not like he reverted back to where he was the first 5 weeks. It was fine. His game against the Jets was better than his game yesterday. And this is not just because of the interception. But He had some nice plays, some horrible taken sacks, some touchdowns that should have been caught but weren't, and he had a bad interception, and also a near interception that would have been an interception if Tyreek Hill didn't have incredible skill at playing the ball. So back on the first drive, Smith had Tyreek Hill open for a touchdown and took a sack. He did it again later. He scrambled into a sack later on in the game where I tweeted, like, can you imagine if Patrick Mahomes had taken that sack? Go, oh, this is why you can't have a rookie. You can't let a rookie play quarterback to take sacks like this. And Alex Smith had, like, three of those yesterday. Arrowhead Pride tweeted that Rich Gannon said on the broadcast that they talked to Matt Nagy, and Nagy said they're talking to Alex Smith about keeping his eyes up and downfield, and that made me laugh because it insinuates that sometimes it just takes 13 years of practice to get good at that. It was silly. The interception that Alex Smith threw was because he kept his eyes up. Before this was crazy. This in real time was nuts. So the interception that Alex Smith threw, I was thinking as I was watching the play, like, man, he's been very disciplined in the pocket. He has kept his eyes up for a long time. This is great. Ooh, where's he going? Oh, God, he threw a pick. That was the way I experienced that. I was, like, praising him until the ball left his hand and then immediately went into the Raiders' hands. So that's never going to be something that Alex Smith gets good at. But he did have a couple of times when he definitely started distrusting his offensive line and got happy feet. There were times whenever he held onto the ball too long and took a sack. I don't think the offensive line was bad yesterday. It had some bad results because it wasn't a great Alex Smith pocket presence game. Again, he made some good throws and he had, like, I don't know, I think he had three or four touchdown passes that, again, were either undone by drops or penalties. There were definitely three. Two from Kelsey, or two to Kelsey. One was dropped. One was overturned on a penalty, and one to Harris, which was dropped. But again, also that big play to Tyreek Hill was all Tyreek Hill, and it was an underthrown ball. It was just like a win-some and lose-some kind of game for Alex Smith. If the Chiefs are going to beat the Chargers this week, and if they're going to beat a playoff team in the AFC, then they're going to have to get a better game from Alex Smith than what they got yesterday. I'm really pessimistic about the Chiefs magically stumbling into a more confident Alex Smith. I'm not particularly high on that possibility. But if they don't, then that's just, you know, that's just how the season's going to go. That's always how the season was going to go. So again, I think if you missed the analogy earlier, if you're just joining us, or, you know, if you just have been listening now for like an hour and you want to hear the best analogy of all time brought back to life, it reminds me of Jeffy from Family Circus, where he would be traced around in the comic strip with that dotted black line, and he would, you know, he was going to go to the kitchen, but he went outside first because he's a dumb little kid, and he trounced around in the mud for a little bit and then went over and chased the dog, and he went and picked some flowers and he came back inside. He tracked mud into the house. He went into his room and he played with, you know, some blocks or something, and then came back downstairs, went through the kitchen, went into the living room and talked to his dad, and then came back again, ended up in the kitchen and asked mom what was for dinner. He did go from, you know, the front door to the kitchen. He just did it in a very convoluted way. I feel like that's basically where we're at with the Chiefs right now. They've gotten about where I thought they would get, just not how I thought they would get there. I thought they would probably need to win two of these last three games to make it to the playoffs. I thought that this would be about where they ended up. I did not think it was going to be on the back of a 5-0 start and beating the Patriots and Eagles and then, you know, losing to the Giants and Bills and Jets. Not how I saw them going about it, not the path that I expected to see them take, but about where I expected them to end up. And I think we're there with Alex Smith also. It's the same analogy works directly for Alex Smith. He did some incredible things through 5 weeks. He had a stretch there when he was stuck in the mud, and now he's back out and being Alex Smith again. Which is good, by the way, for his trade value, I suppose. If you want to talk about, hey, you know what, some teams are going to look at this and they're going to look back at the last couple of weeks and they're going to go, that was just his absolute floor. He's better than that.
So if you're looking ahead to next year and you want to be optimistic that way, you can do it with that. But whenever I look at Alex Smith now, it's the same thing. It's the Jeffy. We're about where I thought we were going to be. It's just kind of Alex Smith. So that was a set of things that I took away from yesterday. Kareem Hunt looked really good through the first half. He scored the Chiefs' first touchdown. He ended up with 25 carries and 116 yards, averaged almost 5 yards per carry. Never busted out a big one. His longest run was for 17 yards. That was a good Kareem Hunt game. He ended up breaking the 1,000-yard mark. What are you smirking at, Beards? Sometimes I look up and
nothing.
Beards is just smirking.
Something you said. I can use it to make something else.
What did I say?
Oh, don't worry about it.
Just tell me what I said.
Don't worry about it.
I don't know what I said. Usually I will say something and then I will like stop for a moment and then it'll just, you know, I'll acknowledge it. I have no idea what I said just then. I'm guessing stick around until the next commercial break. Whenever we come back, we will have a liner of me saying whatever dumb thing I just said. But he didn't have an amazing game. He did break 1,000 yards rushing on the season, which every single person on Twitter informed me of all at once, and every on the TV, and the, I mean everybody. Just everyone's like, yeah, that's Kareem Hunt breaking 1,000 yards rushing in the year, which is great. He's still in conversation for AFC Rookie of the Year, I suppose. I don't know who else is ahead of him at this point. Alvin Kamara maybe his jumped him in the running back rankings, but he's in the NFC. Deshaun Watson.
Fournette.
Blew up his knee. I guess it's Hunt and Fournette.
Fournette's the bigger name.
Hunt had the bigger start, though. And they're both playing for relatively similar teams.
I haven't been paying attention to Jacksonville, so I don't know how good Fournette's been in the time where Hunt was basically invisible because the Chiefs were just piles of dog poop.
I'm guessing that he's already past 1,000 yards rushing. He's been getting used a lot. I'm guessing he has. I haven't looked at it yet. I'm going to pull it up here. I got Fournette up. I'm guessing that he has more carries for more yards and lower yards. Oh, no. He doesn't even have 1,000 yards yet. What a scrub.
Bum.
Bum. What a bum.
Bust.
What a bust. Can I get some music for trying to formulate the Rookie of the Year conversation between Kareem Hunt and Leonard Fournette? Thank you.
Didn't Fournette, like, not play his last year in college or whatever?
No. I don't think so.
I thought that was the thing, where he, like, sat out the year.
That doesn't ring a bell. I'm also not Mel Kiper, so I don't know. I could be wrong. I gotta find full stats here, because we gotta bring in all-purpose yards. All right, I got it. So Kareem Hunt has 1,046 yards on 218 attempts. Fournette, 231 and 923 yards. Fournette does have 8 rushing touchdowns. Kareem Hunt only has 5. But Leonard Fournette, through the air, he has 29 catches for 213 yards, 1 touchdown. Kareem Hunt has 42 receptions for 389 yards and 2 touchdowns. So he has more all-purpose yards. He has more rushing yards, more receiving yards, fewer touchdowns. Also, Leonard Fournette did miss 2 games. Forgot about that. Or no, or just because he got sat down for that one game. I think he was hurt and missed 2 game, and then he was like a surprise healthy scratch for that one game also. If memory serves. But, oh boy, they're both younger than I am. This is weird. That's really strange.
I'm telling you, once I realized I was older than 4 of the top 5 picks in an NBA draft, I went, oh, God, I'm old.
What am I going to do with my life? What can I be? Leonard Fournette is just under a month younger than I am. It's like I was born on December 23rd, 1994. Leonard Fournette was born January 18th, 1995. what the hell have I accomplished? He was the fourth overall pick. He is an NFL running back. I'm talking about him.
I was about to say, you're doing a radio show and he's not, but then again, you just kind of made it. Yeah, I see the problem there.
Like, if somebody was doing a podcast talking about me and was older than me, I would be like, dude, get a life. What are you do? Why would you be talking about me?
Fair question.
And you're older than I am. I am like the subject of your show.
The podcast about talking about what happened on Almost Entirely Sports.
Right.
I really love that joke they made at like 30 seconds in.
Remember when
Josh hasn't been bringing it with the analysis lately.
Oh, man.
Maybe we need to sit him down for a bit.
I love that Jeffy analogy, though. That was super good for that young audience.
Save the week.
Oh, man, what happened to Friday's show? Oh, God. Friday's show was a true disaster.
Fire the coach.
Yeah, maybe if Charlie replaced Beards full-time, maybe the show would be better. Oh, such a weird... The first time I remember this being a thing is whenever, like, 16-year-olds started showing up on American Idol, and I was, like, 17. It's like, oh, man, yeah. This is, again, what have I done? What am I doing? But now we're here, doing a radio show, talking about this child beast running the ball for 1,000 yards for the Jags. Kareem Hunt's at least a little bit older. Oh, sorry. No, he's younger. I misread this. It's even worse. I forgot how dates worked for a second. I feel like Beards is about to, he's looking at his phone right now, and I feel like he's about to tell me that actually Elon Musk is like 14.
Actually, I was older than 3 of the top 5 players in the draft that year.
What year was that?
When 2012. It was Anthony Davis, Michael Kidd-Gilchrist, Bradley Beal, Deion Waiters, and Thomas Robinson. So I was older than the three top picks in that draft. God. And I just went, oh, gosh, this is really weird.
Yeah, it's strange.
It's so weird.
It's really strange. I don't like the turn that this is taking.
Pretty soon there are going to be people that were born in the 2000s in sports, and I am not ready for that.
I mean, yeah, like you're like, yeah, like soon.
My sister was born in 2001. This is going to be really weird, man.
Sorry, I was just looking at my watch to see what year it was. If you hear that beeping, that's what's going on there. Let's head into the phrase full frontal Alex Smith again.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
Pushing the boundaries of acceptable sluttiness.
On 1510 AM, 99.3 FM, and 1510.com.
I'm glad you fixed the music on this one, Beards. So, God. I'm all shook up.
You ready to talk about that Alex Smith full frontal whatever?
No, don't say it like that. I'm not. I already talked about it. We got the full Alex Smith experience. That's what I meant. So also what I should have just said.
Well, this music's useless then.
How good is it for us that part of our, like, aesthetic of this show is just, like, bad? It's just doing things poorly. Like, oh, welcome to Almost Entirely Sports, where we purposefully cut off the music for comedic effect and leave long pauses and also say things that just don't make sense on ESPN Kansas City.
We're still here.
Well, it's true. It's just no one's listening.
I mean, you didn't have to say it that way. I have an ego, you know.
I just thought of something I was going to tell you off air earlier. And boy, one thing I realized also, I used to hate it whenever on like the Kornheiser show or whatever, they would say something like, oh, well, I'll tell you during the break or whatever. I used to hate that because like one of my friends keeping a secret from me right in front of my face. And I do that all the time now. And I feel bad about
it. It's like in cartoons where the adults would have like their heads cut off.
Right. The talking.
Did you see their body?
Like, yeah. Womp, 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 womp. I hate feeling like I'm having secrets kept from me by my friends. That's what, like, Kornheiser felt like a friend. So I want to use this opportunity
to say, if that does annoy you also, I promise you, it's not that interesting. It's just about, like, people that, like, Beards and I know personally. Like, really, if there were any really good off-air jokes, I think almost all of them I would just bring to air and just share that funny joke and then take the consequences as they may come. So if there is a good edgy joke, you've probably heard it. And not even all of them are jokes. I was going to tell Beers that I found out that somebody that we both know has fewer Twitter followers than you would expect. And since Twitter followers is the way that we all measure our bloops around here, and this stupid talk radio world, it made me laugh. It's not who you think it is. It's not anyone that you think it is, Beards, I promise. You're not going to find it and guess it. And it doesn't matter. We're spending too much time on this secret that no one else can know about. The Patriots are getting Chris Hogan back tonight, which isn't that interesting in a vacuum, but as a I have a theory, okay? Every NFL team is getting more injured as the season goes on, except for the Patriots, who are somehow getting healthier. And I think it's because they have goat blood in their Gatorade cooler on the sideline. In fact, I'm reporting that. Do we have breaking news, Sounder? Can I get some breaking news effects? I'd like to make an exclusive report here on ESPN Kansas City. That was way shorter than I thought it was going to be. The Patriots have goat blood in their Gatorade coolers. Breaking news. Goat blood, Gatorade coolers. Sacrifices to Satan. The Patriots are getting healthier. As everybody else's knees fall apart in this gladiator sport. And we touched on this at the beginning of the show, and I just wanted to go back to it for a second. Remember when Eric Winston said, like, I think it was, Castle got hurt. Matt Castle got hurt, and the people at Arrowhead cheered, which is because they wanted Matt Castle out of the game. That is, unequivocally, really terrible. Don't do that.
It also symbolizes how bad those dark days were.
That is true. But afterwards, Eric Winston said, we're not gladiators. And you are, actually. I hate to break it to you, I hate to be that guy, but you are gladiators. This is gladiatorial. This is how this works. I've realized my problem with this also. And this is, by the way, if you're just joining us, this is the Jags-Seahawks game ending with, like, a brawl and then a Seahawks player trying to climb into the stands to ostensibly brutally murder a fan or two who were throwing things at him from the stands as he was walking out through the tunnel. Carson Wentz, MVP candidate, had his knee shredded on a really very normal-looking hit as he dove into the end zone this week. Last week, Ryan Shazier, like, almost, like, died. And, like, would have, if this injury would have happened 50 years ago, like, he would almost certainly be paralyzed. We had the Steelers game in its entirety from last week. Rob Gronkowski tried to concuss a man, did concuss a man, I believe. This has been a really brutal stretch of a couple of weeks from the NFL. And I'm trying to recalibrate my sensibilities on all of this and figure out, like, so what should the NFL be doing? The NFL is always going to lose whenever it tries to police violence because that's what the game is. Like, that's the reason the NFL is so popular. It's not because it's the beautiful game and because you like seeing pristine spirals and crisp handoffs. Football is exciting because you never know whenever Rob Gronkowski might be broken into two pieces. And I mean, you can have a fun, you can watch football in a finesse way, I suppose, when you really want to see a good deep shot. But your quarterback standing tall in the pocket is going to get hit. Those offensive and defensive linemen are rattling each other's brains around. And the running back is going to take a shot to the brain every time. And this isn't like a hot take. This is just things that happen. The NFL needs to do some recalibrating of its own in a couple different places. Like, they need to recalibrate, like, what a pass interference penalty is. And they've got to figure out what they're going to do with the idea of trying to legislate their violence. Because it's not, you can't do it. The NFL is intrinsically violent. You can legislate violence in baseball. And say, well, if you brawl with another player, you're going to get suspended for this many games. If you purposefully hit a player with the ball, you're going to get suspended for this many games. You can do that because violence isn't one of the core pillars of your sport. But hockey and football can't really do that. Also, football is the worst because, again, subconcussive hits are the things that cause CTE. But we're just kind of ignoring that for now because you literally cannot stop subconcussive hits in this sport. They are a requirement for playing football. They are a prerequisite. They're going to happen automatically. I just saw some Dolphin player spank one of his teammates on the butt so hard that his teammate, like, jutted forward and, like, hit his head on the ground. This game is so violent that the congratulatory butt smacks are aggressive. Put me straight to the injured reserve with a bruised butt cheek. You know, the NFL cannot legislate violence. If you can keep players from going into the stands, I think you shouldn't. I think you should just let them go and then drag the fan to the 50 and see what that fan's got. By the way, can you imagine the one time that the fan wins? How amazing that would be?
That would have to be like against a kicker, though. Come on.
Even better. This is a great point you make, Beards. All of a sudden, the kickers...
Like a kicker or maybe a quarterback?
The kickers and quarterbacks become, like, prime targets.
Except for, like, maybe Cam, because he's, like, 6'5 and just...
I wouldn't want to fight Roethlisberger at the 50. I would... You know what? I don't think... I'd throw a Gatorade bottle at Andy Dalton. That's about it, though. Alex Smith would destroy most people.
Probably.
Most quarterbacks would destroy most average Joes. A kicker, though. Steven Hauschka, even walking out of his home stadium, every single week would get hit in the head with a popcorn bucket.
Which kicker is it that's just like completely ripped and shredded?
You mean the buff one?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm just thinking Blair Walsh would be hit with an orange every day. Someone would smuggle in an orange, hit him in the head.
It's not the Colts kicker, is it?
Pat McAfee was the fat punter who I wouldn't want to fight. And it's definitely not Vinatieri.
No.
Because he's 1,000 years old.
Yeah, I just realized that. I was like, oh, no, never mind, not him.
What are you Googling right now? What is the phrase that you're Googling?
The first thing I Googled was Colts kicker, just because I couldn't remember if it was him or not.
Okay. Well, I'll go ahead and try to help you out here.
Yeah, I'll let your history get tainted more than mine.
Buff kicker. Well, this is all. These are articles about kickers that the Colorado Buffaloes have signed. So, the Buffs. The Colorado Buffaloes website is apparently cubuffs.com. They apparently signed a 30-year-old kicker from Australia. Buff NFL kicker. Okay, good God. Steve Weatherford. Oh, put a shirt on. Okay, I get it. Lord. He looks unhealthy. He's a former
punter.
Yep,
that's who it is. That's who I was thinking of.
Former punter.
Okay. Yeah, I wouldn't take him.
Doing a dumb show. Hey, yep. Did you see? Oh, man, we should have started the show with this. Did you see that the Texans might fire Bill O'Brien?
For what?
Being a bad head coach.
What did he do now?
He's a bad head coach.
Okay, what happened?
They keep losing.
Okay.
Tom Savage is bad. I think TJ Yates is and good God. Did Tom Savage have a seizure on the field?
I heard something. I didn't
go
see it.
Go watch the video. It's terrifying.
No thanks. I'm good.
He's laying on the field and his hands are like up by his face, just shaking. See, his hands and arms just shaking. He's like just paralyzed there, and his hands are just shaking. And he came back into the game like 5 minutes later.
That's what I was going to say.
Bill O'Brien was
going to joke.
Bill O'Brien was asked after the game, like, so what did you think? He's like, I just coached the players. I just coached the players.
Way to be accountable there, Bubba.
Oh, man. What a scumbag. Just what a sack of scum. I just coached the players, including that one who was seizing up on the field 2 minutes before I put him back in the game. Come on. The worst. But really, Bill O'Brien and Mike McCarthy should both be fired this offseason and replaced with literal animals. I believe I nominated a raccoon for the Packers, and I nominated a platypus for the Houston Texans.
You're in Texas, though. I feel like you need to go with, like, a longhorn.
No, I'm saying you're bucking the trends. This is like bringing in, it's like bringing in Doug Peterson. It's like, wait a second, like it wouldn't make any sense.
Are you comparing Doug Peterson to a cow?
Platypus.
Oh.
It's got the visor, some like weird fur on top of his head.
Poisonous spurs?
Probably. Sure. Why not? I'm saying that Deshaun Watson could succeed with a platypus head coach, and Aaron Rodgers could succeed with a raccoon head coach, and everything would be fine. They need to go get someone who can actually coach an NFL team. And also, not start Tom Savage! Just, he started Tom Savage for a half this year. It was one of the most atrocious coaching decisions I've ever seen. He should have been fired at halftime of that game. As soon as he said, we're going to make a quarterback switch, he should have been fired. I'm openly rooting for Bill O'Brien and Mike McCarthy to lose their jobs in a way that I don't think I'm ever rooting for anybody to be out of work. There are very few people that I openly just root for to be fired. Those two are on the list.
What's the rest of that list look like?
I can't tell you that. You're number eight.
Thank you for putting me that low.
Yeah, because like there's the two NFL head coaches. Yeah, no, I mean, I can't even feel it. I'm having a hard time walking the line of like, oh, what's a good safe joke there? I got nothing. I'm just going to let you know that you're at eight. Bill O'Brien is at three. Mike McCarthy is at six.
That then raises the question of who's two and one. And five.
I know that's the question that it raises.
Who's behind me?
Charlie. Beards thinks he knows what the rest of the list is. Joke's on you, Beards. There is no list. You want to hazard a guess? You know what? I'll just tell you. What word did I put you guys?
I'm an eight, and apparently Charlie's at nine.
You are not an eight. You are like a six at best.
Editing the list on the fly, I see.
Nah, that was a joke. I changed. You said, never mind. I can't explain my jokes to you, Beards. Anyway, number two is obvious. Number one is obviously.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.